This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you, Randall. Good morning. What a big, fun Saturday this is going to be across the state as the Carlinville Cavaliers are loading up the bus right now. They are off to Mount Carmel. We'll have live coverage at 1:45 right here on FM 106 and online at WSMIRadio.com. We'll have Chad East today with us in just a moment. Williamsville's Aaron Coons will be joining us coming up about 9:10 this morning as the Williamsville Bullets get set to host the Fairfield Mules today at 9:30. We'll catch up with Panda head coach Trevor Higgins as Panda will be hosting Maroro Forsyth this afternoon with a 1 o'clock kick. So we'll catch up with Coach Higgins in front of their big matchup. And we'll talk with Nokomis's Paul Watson. What a special year it was for the Nokomis football team. Obviously came to a close earlier than they had wished last week, but they had a fabulous season nonetheless, and we'll talk with Paul Watson coming up later on in the hour. On the phone right now is Carlinville head coach Chad Easterday. And, Chad, good morning. Is the bus loaded up and rolling?
Yeah, we're just headed down 108 now. So we had a pretty good neat. We'll always have a neat send-off, that type of stuff. So had breakfast with the kids and everything, so we're on the road.
Well, you guys know how to get to Mount Carmel. I guess my question would be, is it the same bus driver in 21 as you had in 19?
It is not the same bus driver. So, we know how to get there. It's a ways down there.
Jed, let's talk first about last week before we get into your matchup with Mount Carmel. Anytime you win a playoff game in football, it goes from a good year to a great year.
Yeah, you know, we had a big challenge because DuPoint had a COVID incident there week two and didn't get everybody back the following week. So, going into the game, we felt that they were definitely not a 5-4 team like we talked about. But I was really happy to see the kids respond. We made couple of mental errors there in the middle of the game, and we ended up coming back from that, which we had not done the week before. So that was definitely a difference in the ball game.
Well, Chad, I always got to get you one question, right? So here it comes. Get ready. I was shocked that your kids weren't ready for that onside pooch. I was blown away that you guys did not recover that ball.
There was one of those mental mistakes that we didn't fair catch it. We had kind of put in a little bit of a different return this week. We'll call that bad coaching. We'll just call it bad coaching. So they had not attempted anything like that in the past, so it was definitely a surprise for us. But, we made that error. Hopefully we have that corrected this week.
Well, you made up for it, too, though, because Ethan Siglock had a big kick return that really kind of got you the momentum back there.
Yeah, you're 100% right there. We were able to, they tied the game at 19, and then we made it three and out, held them, and then that play definitely pushed us in the momentum direction to get back on the right track.
Mount Carmel is a unique venue. Your seniors, a number of them, should have been on the roster and on the trip back in 19, maybe not getting big minutes, but they experienced the situation.
Yeah, it's very similar to, every place has a unique atmosphere. If you talk about Greenville, you got a mile-high Hawk. Us, we have the drum line. They have a very unique stadium, concrete bleachers, and they all walk down it. So, it's one of those things that make high school football great and the different atmosphere to play in. So, as I told the kids all week long, the field's 100 yards, 52 and a half wide, all that stuff really doesn't matter when it's at 2 o'clock. So,
Chad, when you look at Mount Carmel on film, what do you see here? They had a couple forfeit wins as well.
Yeah, they did. So, definitely, all athletic, I think is a good way to describe them. I think they're pretty big up front. So we'll have our hands full today with that sort of thing. But we match up well on the outside, so hopefully we can get some things rolling. And you already said it best. And, there were 64 of us a week ago, and there's only 32 of us now. So, there's no quote-unquote bad ones left.
And, Chad, when I think you mentioned it, you match up well on the outside, and that bodes well for you because, maybe Pena, you got in trouble there because their speed kind of negated some of your quick-hitting stuff with your elite wide receivers. If that is going today like it was last week, could be a good day.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So, we got some schemes set up for them up front. We got to get them based up and that sort of thing. We'll try to minimize some one-on-ones on the offensive line and see if we can get some double teams and, I know it sounds weird to say, but in these types of games, we're definitely the underdog here. Using the clock and scoring and field position and those types of things are key ways that we can control the game and on our side and force them into something they don't want to do.
Chad, did you feel like your week of practice was what you wanted leading into this game?
Yeah, I think so. This time of the year, you know, we don't get nuts with 2 to 3 hour practices. We do our technique work game plan wise. It's always nice to have that extra Friday day. Most of the scouting report's done by Monday at noon and that type of thing. So, you know, I think we're ready now. We just got to show up and get the job done.
What does Chad Easterday do on a 3 hour bus ride to a playoff game? How do you pass the time? What are you doing?
The same thing I did all three nights, watch huddle. So the bus has got Wi-Fi, so I don't know. I'm not a big movie guy or anything like that, so I'll watch a few huddle clips and the stuff that we need to do right and that sort of thing, and we'll be ready to go.
Sounds great. Chad, thank you for a few minutes, as always, and, hey, we'll see you on the border of Indiana in a few hours.
All right. Thanks, Tim.
All right. That's Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carletonville Cavaliers, as they are off to Mount Carmel. And I will be off to Mount Carmel in a few short moments as well. And Sean Belent has made his way into the studio. He'll be taking us the rest of the way here on Sports Saturday. And Sean alluded to it with Chad there. But in high school football, when you win one playoff game, it goes from a good year to a great year.
You got that monkey off your back. You know, okay, we've proven we can play in the postseason. We've been in that air, that rarefied air. And, I don't care if you're a 2 and you're beating a 15 or whatever. I know it doesn't work like that, but I've got maybe the NHL in my head, whatever. Our old NHL. It's hard.
NCAA.
You can't keep up with it. There we go. And you just, okay, we know how to do this, and we know it's going to get tougher, but yeah. You got it out of the way, so okay, this is the new reality. This is the new world order, so to speak, of high school football.
And it's where it really gets fun if you're Carletonville today. That type of long bus trip to that type of venue over there at Mount Carmel. It'll be a fun day for the Carletonville football team as they will be on the road at Mount Carmel, live coverage at 1:45 here on WSMI. Your defending 3A champion, Williamsville Bullets, they will be at home today. 2 o'clock kickoff as they will be hosting the Fairfield Mules. And on the phone right now is head coach Aaron Coons. And coach, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning. You're amped and ready to roll, right?
We are. We're just starting breakfast, and kids have a lot of energy, and you can tell there's a buzz that we're ready to go.
What's on the menu?
Bacon, eggs. There's some smoothies. Good breakfast food.
The good stuff. And, Aaron, as you've looked at Fairfield on tape here, what do you see?
Well, they're pretty unique. You know, they're a double wing team, 2 tight ends, 2 wing backs right off those tight ends with a fullback in the backfield. Most of the time, that's their main formation. Very big, very – their tight ends are both, over 200 pounds and really good looking kids, or fullbacks over 200 pounds. And then they'll every once in a while they'll get in some spread and bring in some different kids and even go empty. So they'll go from, nobody outside the box to 5 guys outside the box and everything in between. So had to do a lot of formation work and a lot of things to make sure we align correctly, but they're very well coached and do some really good things.
Well, I know a lot of the Bullet moms over there, and boy, you've crossed from a team having success to a real tradition there, and it really making it, for the folks from Fairfield, making that long bus trip from southeastern Illinois. I know the mayor, he probably wants to give the team the key to the city, but that is probably going to, it's going to be a pretty tough challenge for anybody who comes to Williamsville, because you built up a pretty darn nice home field advantage over there.
Yeah, we have. I mean, we've won a lot of football games on Paul Jenkins Field, and we talked last week with the kids that I don't know if you guys know this, but after this season, the field is going to be torn up, and we're putting in an 8-lane track and turf. So Paul Jenkins Field, as we know, it's going to completely change. So We want to write the end of the story on this field that's been here for 51 years now as a good one for sure. You know, we're not guaranteed to, if we get a win today, next week we know we'll be away, and then that if we can win next week, the semis week, you know, good chance that we'll be on the road then too, just because of seedings and how things work out. So this could be the last game played on a field that's had so many great memories and so many great players, and so we're hopefully we end it on the right way.
And Aaron, it's really amazing how quickly the tide has turned towards turf fields. I mean, it is becoming just almost commonplace. Now, in a few years, there's going to be a lot of turf fields around here.
Yeah, you know, I personally love grass, but it's just so hard with the weather for a field to hold up through a season. And I don't know if that's, it's just always been like that, and you just dealt with it. But, you know, with painting the field and fertilizing the field, watering the field, you know, the turf makes a lot of sense, because, you know, you build it, and then you know, it doesn't take nearly the, you know, the work. And, you know, if we get snow, we can move the snow, we play on the turf field. You know, you get inches of rain, your field's not torn up for the season. So it's pretty amazing. We're very excited about it. We do love our field that we have now, but it just makes sense.
Talking with Aaron Coons, the head coach of the Williamsville Bulls. And, Coach, that game last week against Beardstown, I think it's exactly the type of game you thought you were going to get.
Yeah, they had a bunch of really good linemen, some really, really good skilled kids, and we knew they were physical. But those kids all played both ways, and we knew that we'd have to stand a run from them, and then hopefully, you know, we'd wear them down, and that's what happened, and you know, we took over, you know, in the second half. So our depth and us working kids both ways, I think, was really a difference maker.
Well, I mean, great. Boy, those two-way linemen too, they really get the job done. It's hard to push the line of scrimmage and then jump the other way and then get in the quarterback's face, but they certainly have done that with an energy. It looks like they're one-way players out there.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, when a team's linemen, you know, are going both ways, and especially with how fast we go with our tempo, it's really hard. So, you know, we've really made, you know, right now, all of our linemen, both sides, are pretty much playing one way for us, and that's a big advantage.
Aaron, final question, just kind of, if you had to boil this game, just oversimplify it, couple of things that the Bullets, if you do them, you're going to win.
We got to get aligned properly. We got to match their physicality, and obviously turnovers is a key. Whoever can take care of the football is going to be victorious today.
Sounds good. Good luck, Coach. Well, stay against the Fairfield Mules.
And I would say,
right,
I would transplant that field into your backyard.
I
don't know if you have. I'm sure you don't have a 100-yard backyard, but I just.
Yeah, we might try to do something for sure, because it's definitely special to our family and my wife and my mother-in-law. It's definitely a special field, and as exciting as it is going to be emotional for all of us and our community.
No doubt. Coach, good luck today, sir.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You know, that's tough, too, because AstroTurf you can make into plaques, you know, cut up a little swath. Can't really do that with grass.
Well, you can't, but that is an interesting idea, though. I bet that they will try to get a chunk of that sod and transplant it in that. Why not?
Oh, yeah. Put it in front of the school, in front of City Hall. This is sacred turf.
You know, Rochester, in terms of public schools, has done things that you didn't even really think were attainable. And while Williamsville doesn't have the state titles that Rochester has, Sean, they have been so dang good and so consistently deep into the playoffs here for 15 years, seemingly. It is just, it's a testament to Aaron Coons. It's a testament to the program that has been built there, that just year after year, you expect to see them in the quarterfinals.
And the coach let me, you know, he let me off pretty easy. You know, I know of one guy who does a lot of two-way line work, who is a menace in the backfield and pushes the pile. But, you know, again, when you've you know, recruitment, getting kids to come out and play, especially at a school that size. I mean, we've heard some schools, even schools doing well, like, we have no, there is no next man up.
I mean, right. Yeah, they've got depth.
It's like Valley Forge. You're just going to have to go out there all bandaged up.
Sorry, boys.
And your bare feet in frostbite conditions.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. I got to jet out of here. I got to head over to Mount Carmel's. We'll have live coverage of Carthenville and Mount Carmel coming up at 1:45 here on FM 106.1. We'll stream it online as well at WSMIRadio.com. Still to come this hour, Payne's Trevor Higgins, Nokomis's Paul Watson, when Sports Saturday continues here on WSMI.
.9 on this Saturday morning from WSMI FM 106. Sports Saturday continues, and we join WSMI's Sean Balint.
All right. Thank you very much, Randy. And again, the playoffs today, and it feels like playoff football. You know, you can't beat high school football. You start off dealing with cramps and two-a-days. How are we going to get through the August heat? And before you know it, you're worried about frostbite and whatever. And the thing you desperately want is to play in the late November chill of DeKalb. So looking at the 3A playoffs, Tim on his way to darn near the Indiana border. I know what that's like. That is a heck of a road trip as Carlinville heads off to take on that storied program. The Mount Carmel Club, 10-0 on the year, and Fairfield, the Mules, will try to be stubborn against the Williamsville Bullets in a road trip today. Monticello, 8-2, the Purple Sages headed off to Benton, and Paxton, Buckley, Loda, 7-3 at Tolono Unity, 10-0. 10-0 is, you know, it's a statement. It doesn't matter how soft your schedule is, you are a force to be reckoned with. And speaking of 10-0, you have the Pena Panthers. Now, no one envies someone who has to take on Maroa Forsyth, and we'll talk to Coach Trevor Higgins about that assignment here in a matter of moments. But the Trojans come in at 8-2 on the year as they make the trip to Brummett Field. Nashville will follow in the footsteps of North Mac and head out to take on Bismarck Henning Rossville Alvin out there, again, about 5 miles from the Indiana border. Nice folks over there. A great host for us last weekend. We certainly appreciate the accommodations there. And I believe they've got what I believe to be a homemade press box as far as local carpenters or whatever the case may be. You know, some folks get a prefab, but, boy, they did a great job with that facility there. Sometimes you roll into a town and you look at the facility and think this is a much larger school than I expected, or you'd think the town was a town of like 5,000 people. They just put a great facility together out there when they combine those school districts. Tremont, not far from Peoria, 8-2 on the road against Farmington, 10-0. Deer Creek Mackinac, 7-3 at Downs Tri-Valley, an undefeated club. And the Vandalia Vandals hit the road, and boy, you talk about envy or not envying someone taking on those St. Teresa Bulldogs, 10-0. I mean, they are a annual juggernaut there out of Soy City, but this year, boy, just great quarterback play. They are a steamroller. So the Vandals, after a great outing last week against the Chester Yellow Jackets, will have their hands full today. Johnston City over at Breeze Modern Day, 9-1 at 10-0 Breeze Modern Day. Modern Day, great place to see a football game, a tough place to park, but boy, they have a great field, a great venue over there. In 1A, a battle of some neighbors, Greenfield Northwest at Carrollton, 8-2 Greenfield Tigers taking on that Carrollton club at 9-1. The last time they met in the playoffs, a heartbreaker. Won by Greenfield, 21-20. Heartbreaker, of course, for the Carrollton faithful, the Hawk fans over there. Cesar Valier, and I'll throw some love for Waltonville out there because the state doesn't recognize that they've become SVW. They are 8-2, and once again, envy is not coming into play here as they have to travel to Athens to take on the 9-1 Warriors. Arcola 8-2 at Brown County, 6-4. Camp Point Central 9-1 over at Central A&M, 7-3. And again, the Raiders tougher than that record. All right, and let's move on to talk about the Painted Panthers. The Painted Panthers taking on that that assembly line of a football program. They always roll out great running backs and just a fixture in the deep in the playoffs year to year. Moreau Forsyth there, just on the other side of Decatur. And joining us now, Coach Trevor Higgins. Coach, thanks for stopping by.
Hey, no problem. Anytime I can talk to you guys, I know it's a good thing because that means we're still playing.
Man, I'm telling you what, your program has been special. Now, I have had many encounters with the Paina basketball program, and I always thought of Paina as a basketball school. I absorbed a lot of high school basketball in the 80s and 90s, and certainly the basketball tradition's still there, but boy, the Paina football program couldn't be any deeper on the football map in the state.
I agree completely. When I came on about 15 years ago, it was definitely a basketball school, and football just wasn't really looked at as the number one sport, and I credit that to when Coach Dupek took over. He really made it a family affair and got a lot more kids out for the team, and he's huge in the community, vice president of the bank, and he's just done so much for the community. So whenever he took over, I feel like the community really supported him and the program, and then has continued to do that as I've taken over here. So definitely much of that credit there is Coach Dupek, but I do feel like we're now a school that supports all our teams. We just had volleyball go to sectionals. Basketball did really well in the spring. So this town just loves their sports.
Well, and I think of what Coach and his family went through and how the community came together. That was certainly special over the years. This 12th man thing, it's not just a cute phrase. There's something deeper to that.
Yeah, so that's just led by a bunch of guys, again, big in the community. You got Tim Kreister, who owns Save a Lot here in town. Nick Kime, who's been a staple JFL program. Nathan Morrell, who has Morrell Auto Service. I could go on and on. I know I'm forgetting people, but a lot of guys well-known throughout the community. They come out and they grill before every game, and then they have fireworks set up for us for every touchdown. I mean, they just do a ton for the program, and really what that does is just creates an amazing atmosphere for our football team.
Yeah, quarterback club in the same regard. I mean, there's a lot of talk in Congress about infrastructure, but the Paina football program, there is no debate, there's no division. There is a heck of a football infrastructure built up from the community.
Absolutely. Quarterback club is amazing. The amount of people that work and volunteer, the amount of hours they spend, and it's all kind of behind the scenes. No one really gets to see them, and they don't get thanked a lot. But providing meals for our boys, creating signs, posting them up around town, decorating our field, and then providing equipment. That's big for us. It's a, they raise money every year, and then they basically say, hey, what do you need? And then they're able to get it for us. And so having something like that is really beneficial for a program to have the top line stuff, the best helmets, shoulder pads you can get your guys to keep them safe and stuff. So, yeah, very proud of Quarterback Club and everyone who's helped out there.
Well, I know one of the things folks rally around in Paina, the rivalry with Taylorville, we're just talking everything, is is huge, but really not something that happens on the football field. So I have to think this has been such a great thing. I mean, it's City of Roses. You don't make roses anymore. Small towns have their struggles, downtown fires, and, it just seems like this football team has been a great thing for this town to rally around, and a great source of pride. You just wear that big P on your chest, just a little more proud.
Yeah, I mean, Paina for some reason gets a bad rep, and of course it has its issues, but every small town does. But all I've known, again, for the last 14 years is a community that supports their team, their players, a community that's just loved and supported me throughout some of the hardest days, of my life, and so I've got nothing but love for them, and I know that they're going to come out today. It's going to be a huge crowd. It's going to be super loud, and I'm just excited for them to be able to experience a game like this, going up against a program like Maroa.
Well, in Maroa, and I remember my high school, and I went to Westland many moons ago, and they committed the sin of not having a football program when I went there, and I won't go into that. It cost me an Al Bundy-like existence because I probably still have the shirt and talk about exaggerated high school glory days, but that's another story for another day. But, you know, Westland comes out there, they jump out on top, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, we're on to the second round. And it's just like, it's like the Maroa Forsyth Club just came out there like Pacino. I'm just getting warmed up. And the second quarter, all of a sudden, they're just running downhill and running downhill. And it's like, yeah, you know, we're a little tired after the bus ride. But around the middle of the first quarter, we're starting to get the smelling salts. We're back in the ring. They have just, it's something, the kind of monster they built. And I guess it's not like the Colonel's herbs and spices. The recipe isn't exactly a secret.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think I was at that Westville game, and I think Westville just missed a couple chances to capitalize on some mistakes that, you know, Maroa rarely makes. And so that's the biggest thing. Going up against a program like this and a coaching staff like this, if they do make mistakes, you got to capitalize on it. And the other thing is that they're never down and out. So some teams you can get up by two touchdowns and then they're already done. They fold and, you know, you just run on with it. But Maroa will never be like that. They will fight no matter what the score is. And so, you know, you got to make sure your guys are playing every play, taking it one play at a time. And hopefully, you know, that we come out and execute well and can capitalize on some Maroa mistakes.
Well, and that, of course, that's the downside of scoring or suffering, you know, a tough setback here and there. When you look at an 8-2 club, 7-2 coming into the playoffs, that's a pretty tough draw for round two.
Yeah, this feels like to me more of a round three, even you know, a round four matchup. But the 2A South is just absolutely loaded with teams like us and Maroa and Bismarck, who's undefeated, Nashville, who's got one loss. St. T, who's undefeated, Breeze Modern Day, undefeated. So when you have all those teams that are just stacked in one bracket, you're going to get these matchups earlier than what you originally would. So, but, you know, our guys, they're ready. You know, we just talk about no matter who we go up against, you know, we just got to play our game. And, you know, last week was that D1 running back Fagan, and that was our goal, was to stop him. I felt like we did a really good job with that. We're just so fast and tough. It's probably one of the fastest and toughest teams that we've had. So we're ready for whoever it is, and yeah, can't wait for 1 o'clock to get around, if I'm honest with you.
Well, it's great when you face a player like that, isn't it? I mean, you're in the playoffs, and I know sometimes you know, an underdog will come in and they're kind of a one-dimensional team, and you know, you keep a guy in check, a couple of three and outs, then all of a sudden he breaks out with a big play or two, and then everybody starts getting nervous. It's just nice to have that kind of, I guess, testing your nerves a little bit on top of the actual football challenge.
Yeah, the last two games have done wonders for us as a team, going to Carlinville, and they gave us such a great game over there. And last week, even though Arthur was 5-4, when you have a D1 prospect and you have some guys around him, they're capable of doing some good things. So it helped our guys mentally, I think, the most, that no matter what situation we're in, we're poised to win with the speed that we have, the talent that we have, so we're never out of it. So kind of like I said about Maroa, we're the same way. So, you know, Maroa comes out and gets up on us, our guys won't fold. They will continue to fight, and I'm confident that we'll continue to score points. And, you know, I'm looking for a big game, high scoring, and just electric atmosphere.
Well, the way you guys play, the way you energize the crowd with, you know, some exciting football, and, you know, turning games into track meets, how much do you draw off of that crowd, the energy that builds between those results and the crowd as you get out there on Friday nights and this time of year, Saturday afternoons?
Oh, it's huge. Especially, Payne is a little different than everywhere else you go. Is our stands are inside our track. And you know, most places are outside the track, but our fans are literally right on top of us. So, you know, as long as we're winning, I think that's a good thing. Well, we start a losing streak, I might not like that as well, but, you know, it just makes them so much louder. And I honestly think that other teams come in that haven't been here and they're kind of shell shocked by how loud it is because of that fact. And I mean, our people just do an amazing job of getting around our kids, rallying around a big play, and it just pumps our kids up and gets our staff going. And yeah, so they're a huge part of our success so far.
Boy, third and short for the opponents. Yeah, that can't be fun.
No, and you know, we got that scoreboard too that plays this little, you know, just some loud music, stand up and shout, and fans get on their feet and rise, and you can tell other coaches on the opposing sideline, they're either waiting for everyone to quiet down so they can call play in, or they're getting frustrated because their kids can't hear them, and that's just part of home field advantage, and that's why I'm so excited to have round two here, and a potential round three. If we get our job done and Bismarck gets their job done, we could have another home game here. So anytime you can play at home, there's definitely an advantage for the team.
Well, I know it's not Texas and million-dollar stadiums yet, but, boy, the atmosphere and some of the, you know, again, the LED screens and what you're able to do, the high school football atmosphere has changed quite a bit, hasn't it, from the time you got started and first had a whistle in your hands?
Yeah, it's to be able to have a scoreboard like we do, I mean, it's a scoreboard that some D3 schools have at their place, so... For our kids to be able to experience that and have that. And then we have a guy, Tony Ambrose, who makes these amazing hype videos and puts them up on the scoreboard. Yesterday we had the special teams coach from the Buffalo Bills. He sent a message to us. We were able to put it up on the scoreboard yesterday for practice. And, yeah, just the ways that we're able to use it, again, it just adds to what these kids can experience. And, man, it's just going to make memories for them for a lifetime.
Special stuff. So just the keys for your club out of the starting gate today.
Yeah, so the keys are, you know, it sounds very, very simple, but just do what we've done the last 10 weeks and take care of the football. Take care of the football, know your responsibilities, and I just preach to our guys over and over, stick together no matter what happens. Don't bicker at each other. Pick each other up, and if we stay together, you know, we're going to win together. If we start bickering and start crumbling on the inside, that's when things start to get ugly. And so I think we're going to keep that mentality. You know, offensively, defensively, special teams, nothing really changes a lot. It's just making sure that we understand what Moroa does and then how we can counter that. And so as long as our kids come out and execute, I feel really good about what's going to happen today.
Boy, you talk about conditioning and everything. This has to be a great time of year as far as guys really being able to go at it the full 48 minutes. I think these are perfect weather conditions for a football player to really just go the full tilt the distance.
Yeah, you know, at the beginning of the season, you purposely take kids off of certain special teams and try to get them breaks on offense and breaks on defense. And man, once you get to this part of the season, everyone just wants to stay in and they just want to play. And so they're in great shape. You know, if they're not in shape now, they're not going to get in shape. And so our kids last week played almost all four quarters, and they're ready today to do whatever they need to do to get a win. So I'm just excited for them and told them to soak up every moment because, you know, a lot of players don't get to experience this type of atmosphere, this type of game. So, you know, enjoy the moment and play as hard as you can.
Well, sorry about that. Coach, I had a, you know, I talked about this time of year, and it kind of got to me for a minute.
No problem.
Oh, the allergies. Anyway, you mentioned that keeping guys in, and that is one of those dilemmas. I know there's that temptation. Well, we don't want to get our guys hurt, but just like NFL teams where guys don't play in the preseason at all of a sudden it's week one, and they're not really in the flow of the game of football. I know it has to be tempting, like, okay. Let's just keep them safe for next week. But I guess when you play, 18 competitive minutes and then sit on the bench, that doesn't serve you in the long run.
Right, right. And, you know, if we were a big enough school that we could have, you know, split offense and defense, that's what you would want as a coach because your guys are fresh and you're able to move teams in. But we just don't have that capability. We have some guys who only play one way, but not a lot. And I know Moreau is the same way. So, you know, our guys have to play both sides of the ball. And then, like I said, to move on and advance in the playoffs, sometimes they got to get on special teams as well and make some big plays. And our defense coordinator, he loves to say that big-time players make big-time plays in big-time games. So, you know, we're just going to need our guys to do that today.
Oh, I know, like I said, Moreau and Forsyth, they're not really a mystery, but I know a lot of local opponents do you sometimes say, well, you know what, maybe we have access to too much film and we want to deal with practicing on the field. I know that's a conversation in baseball, that guys are spending too much time on a screen and not practicing out on the field.
Yeah, so we're a little different in our program. We've kind of we've sold into it's called Feed the Cats, and it's where you basically don't have your guys out here for hours upon hours, and you don't run your gassers and your full field sprints, and you basically just keep it like a game. And so we're actually able to get in and get out usually in an hour and a half to 2 hours, which, talking to other coaches, they're kind of amazed by that. But our defense coordinator loves film. He probably watches more film, I would say, than any other coach in the area. And that's how you get to know your opponent. And so we do watch a lot of film. We try to keep our practices nice, short, and sweet, but efficient. And our kids kind of like that because then they're excited to come back. It's not like, oh, we got practice today and we're dreading it. Like, they know we get in, we get out, and we do our job. So, yeah, we're a little bit different in that aspect of the of coaching.
Practice smarter, not harder.
Exactly.
Well, Coach, good luck today. I know I know it's going to be a great battle and a contrast of styles perhaps at times, but always great to see and great to – I know, of course, you want to dominate as far as in the stands. You want to have that dominant presence, but there's certainly some fun when you have the road team that's going to travel well. They're going to make a short road trip pretty we're talking under 50 miles if I'm working the map in my head right. So that just creates a special atmosphere, and again, silencing their fans and everything, it just this time of year it's pretty special.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, the other thing is that there's no rollover games second round on. So you know, we know what to expect. I think our fans know what to expect. It's not going to be I don't think it's going to be running clock or even close to that. I think it's going to be two teams that are evenly matched, and like I said, the best team to execute is going to win, and I think our fans are going to really enjoy that.
Well, we encourage everybody to turn out, but I guess I really don't have to do that, do I?
If they don't know by now, they're hiding under a rock.
All right. Well, Coach Trevor Higgins, thanks again, and good luck to the Paina Panthers. And I know you got that 1988 state basketball title, if I got the year right, under Charlie Strasburger. And, you know, let's some playoff hardware already. Look forward to seeing more and more stories of this Paina football program as you move through the trophy case. Of course, it's a little tougher in football. You don't have tournaments and all that stuff. But it's a little easier for the basketball folks. You don't have the holiday. Now, wouldn't that be a grind? The football holiday tournament? Hey, we're going to play three games in 2 days.
Right. No, thanks. Well, I think we'll keep what we have right now.
It would test the limits of sports medicine, that's for sure.
Yes, it would.
All right, Coach. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. We will take a break here on Sports Saturday. And Paul Watson with your Nokomis Redskins coming up next right here on WSMI.
And WSMI's Sports Saturday show continues on this Saturday morning. Once again, we join WSMI's Sean Balint.
All right. Thank you very much, Randy. And I'll have a chance after the show. This is Inside Baseball here, but I have a chance to talk to Montgomery County Circuit Clerk Daniel Robbins, the I'll have to find out former or soon-to-be former Hillsborough City Council member, but congratulating him after a swearing-in yesterday. And with my organizational skills, I might have to get some pointers. But we are here in the postseason of high school football here, and we talk about the Nokomis Redskins. It is tough. There are more sad endings, I guess, when you think about just losses, even though you could look at it in the long run and say it's a happy ending. Then, you know, only eight people coach teams will walk away with the hardware when it's all said and done, and DeKalb or Champaign each year. And a lot of energy goes into a football program, and losses are hard, but you know there are no gimmies in the postseason. And Nokomis certainly with a tough draw last week. When they took Assumption and Mohiqua High Schools in the 90s, I don't think anyone predicted that it would become such a monster, a tough program. And Nokomis has run into that buzzsaw twice in one season, and Coach Paul Watson with us, still a special season when it's all said and done. Coach, thanks for joining me.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
I'll tell you what, that is tough. You know, I say this about Central A&M, the Raiders. They play 9 home games during the regular season. They sure travel well, don't they? I imagine it would have been a good day to do the Nokomis census.
Yeah, they you know, they showed up tailgating early, and you know, we had our guys tailgating, and you know, it was we had a little bit more than them, but not much.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's it really is special, though, when I look at the football culture you built. I said it talking with you know, Coach Higgins, football infrastructure. Boy, your quarterback club really went above and beyond. I mean, they do every year, but it just seems like they upped their game. I mean, all of those playoff football shirts around town, and I mean, the town really came together for this football program.
Oh yeah, you know, and we've got a tradition with football and the success we've had over the years, and you know, that stems from, you know, we haven't had very many head coaches here in the past, you know, since 19, what was it, when Coach Eastay started, like 83, something around there, 84. You know, Coach Eastay did it for a long time. Coach Isreddy came in, he was there for 10 years, and then I took over. And that's what I always say about the success of all the programs in Nokomis is longevity of the head coaches. I mean, you look back at Coach Kimbrough and Coach Pisco, and, you know, they both were there for, you know, Coach Kimbrough was there for 30-some years, and Coach Pisco was there for, what, 20-some, almost 30 years himself. So, you know, that's what makes programs good.
Well, you sure navigated some tricky waters, COVID. I know everybody had to battle COVID and the conference flux out there. It just seems like you've come through a pretty challenging time with, you know, flying colors.
Yeah, and, you know, this group of seniors that, you know, played their last game last week, you know, they were 20-6 over the last 3 years, and that's what we talked about. I mean, you know, you got sophomores, you know, you get back to the playoffs, go 7-3, and then next thing you know, COVID hits, and now we're, you know, jumping into a one-year deal with the Cahokia Conference where, you know, we're playing teams that never played before, and we end up going undefeated and 6-0 over there. And, you know, we didn't know from day to day, you know, who was going to be at the practice, who was going to be eligible for the game because quarantine and you know, the COVID stuff there. And then this year, same thing this year, coming in here, you know, we're like, you know, we're an independent conference. Same thing, you know, we're traveling to Edwards County. We're picking up games wherever we can get them. So, yeah, it was good, and we did a great job.
I have to think adversity like that. I mean, I know there is a brotherhood with high school football that, you know, oftentimes lasts the rest of your life. I have to think that's just a little bit stronger for all of the guys, and certainly these seniors who will collect the diploma come spring.
Yeah, you know, here at Nokomis, we started the year off our summer shirts, our team shirts, at family, and that's what we are here at Nokomis. We talk about Nokomis football, it's a family, and I tell the guys, you know, hey, I don't care where you go in life or how old you are, you know, if I'm still breathing and on 2 feet, you need me, you get a hold of me. And that's the same thing with the guys that they play with. You know, we've all got each other's back.
Well, I know your job description involves X's and O's. It involves, you know, your character building out there. You're doing a lot of things. And I guess at some level you're a counselor, too. And I have to think there are a few things more emotionally charged than watching – that final high school football game, and the guy just doesn't want to take the uniform off. These kids go through so much together, the injuries, the pain, the challenge. They sacrifice some of the joys that, you only know in high school. It's a tough thing to watch, isn't it? And, you help get the guys through that, because I know that's not a one-day process.
Oh, no, and that's the thing. I would say, that last game, at the end of the year, that's the hardest day of the year, is, telling them guys goodbye after 4 years of everything that they put into the program. And, but I tell them, it's not over. It's just, you're just starting, and, now you got to get going into the real world and get a job and start your family and all that good stuff. So, and they take their life lessons from football and they turn it into that. And, they've battled through, like you said, injuries and, the good times, the bad times. And, it just prepares them for life.
Hmm. Well, you look forward to next year. And just how do you feel about going into next year in this another brave new world? With the weapons you have set for the 2022 season?
Yeah, we lose a big senior class. We have 12 seniors that play both sides of the ball. We've got a good group of younger guys that learns from these seniors. It's not rebuilding, it's just reloading. And we've got a group that can step in and reload, and we'll just continue the tradition that we've been building and go from there. It's same thing every year. You got a great group that leads, and now you got a new group that's got to step up.
Yeah, that still is something. That spring season last year, that to me seemed like a great springboard for some programs, and some programs know how to use it better than others. And I think you guys probably were on the higher end of the scale on that.
Yeah, we loved it. And not just because we went undefeated. It was, I would love to get. And maybe not six games, but maybe, three games in the spring where we'd get, get these guys going. And I think it would just be awesome to have that, and just have maybe three scrimmage games and go from there. So, I don't know. It'll never happen in Illinois, but it would be good if we could.
Well, I like it. It sounds like a cure for senioritis and other things.
Well, that was one of the things with, with the senior group is talking with our AD and stuff. And he's like, how are we going to get these guys to make sure they're at school every day after the football season's over? Because some of them have already got the senioritis. So I said, I don't know, but we'll try and we'll work with them to get them in school. So, I got several of them that missed this past week, a couple days already, but, they'll get back on track. So,
And I talked about the players, what it's like for them to take off that uniform for the last time. But I imagine you guys go through a lot, and it's tough when you've seen these kids grow from what they were as a ninth grader. I have to think it's tough to say goodbye as far as an active part of the program on your end.
Right, and they've got that open invitation to come back to practice anytime, or we've got some that have come on the sideline on a Friday night, and so they've earned that. So they've worked their tails off for 4 years in the program and made our program better. So that invitation's always there, and it's more than just 4 years. The JSO program, and like these guys have been in there since their fifth grade year, and I was lucky enough that I got to coach some of them, in eighth grade and in JFL. So this group is kind of a special group with my son and all their buddies. They spend more time at my house a lot of times during the season and out of the season than they do at their own house. So at least I know my food bill shows that.
Well, Coach Paul Watson, thanks for another year of great memories, and all the best to your guys, and look forward to next season.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you, Coach. Don't forget the BRS Baseball Museum Hall of Fame induction of 40th anniversary at St. Louis Parish Center. Jason Wirth, the pride of the Glenwood Redskins, I believe, at the time, not the Titans yet, will be there. Also, Dave Kane of SJR fame, former All-Star Kevin Seitzer of the Royals, a former Lincoln Railer, former big leaguers Kevin Kozlowski, the old third baseman from the Redbirds, Ken Obergefell, Stan Royer, and Eric Weaver of Buffalo Tri-City fame will be on hand, and the basketball schedule allows, which I think it will, Brian Barnhart will MC. I almost wish Martin O'Donnell was with him after hearing O'Donnell's call during that Penn State game. Don't forget the Illini taking on Minnesota, the Golden Gophers. Right now that's getting underway as we speak over on the Ox. Well, I want to thank Paul Watts and Trevor Hidkins, Aaron Kuntz, Chad Easterday. Go Carlinville. Go Cavies. And go Panthers. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Sean Bollett saying so long until Tim takes over again Saturday morning a week from today.